Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. But before we turn to our passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word and we ask that you would encourage our hearts. Help us to understand and to see the truth of your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, picking up at verse 17, as we start thinking about the Lord's Supper. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. Well, I want you to picture for a moment that Chloe's household turns up to the Apostle Paul to bring a report on what's been happening at Corinth. And they go through a number of issues. They talk about the adulterer. They talk about the head coverings issues. And they go through a bunch of different things. And at some point in the conversation, Chloe says, Paul, there was one other thing that we noticed was going on. And it just... it caused us a bit of discomfort and we're not sure if it's right or not. So we really wanted to hear your opinion on it. Paul looks at Chloe and says, sure, what was it? And Chloe says, well, a couple of weeks ago, we were celebrating the Lord's Supper together as we normally do. And we were celebrating it as part of our shared meal, as we always do. Every time we celebrate it, we come together and we have a shared meal like all the churches do. And as part of that shared meal, we were celebrating the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, it sounds normal so far. Well, what happened? And Chloe says, well, Steve's family turned up. And Steve's family brought with him a whole lot of wine and a whole lot of bread. Paul says, great. She says, but then there was two or three others there. And they're really poor. And they didn't have anything. And unfortunately, they just sort of sat and watched. They didn't really partake because they didn't have anything. But Steve, he ended up getting a bit drunk, and his wife Sue, she was stuffed full. She looked like she hadn't eaten so much food she almost rolled out the door. And then you imagine you see Paul and his face goes a bit red and you can almost hear his blood temperature rising, and he takes out his pen. And he begins to pen chapter 11, verse 17 through to the end. That's the type of situation that's playing out here. We can't know exactly what's going on, but we can read between the lines. Now, I want to make you pause for a second. Don't run to your next commentary, the ones I've got over what way that way. Don't run to your commentary and ask what's going on here, but try and read between the lines of your Bible. This is always a good practice. Don't default to your Reformation study Bible text at the bottom, but ask yourself the questions. What is Paul saying? How can we work out, looking in between the text, how can we work out the issue in Corinth? And we get a few clues from verse 21. One goes ahead with his own meal, one goes hungry. Another gets drunk. It appears that some people are eating before others turn up, or some people are just getting stuck in and eating everything, and someone else is missing out entirely. Verse 22, do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Seems that the haves are having, and the have-nots are having not. What's going on here? I think what's happening as the people of God are coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper is that those who have plenty are celebrating to their fullest the communion of God. Don't think little communion cups, because that's obviously not what we're talking about here. Don't think tiny little speck of bread, because again, that's not what's happening here. It's people are getting drunk. People are getting extremely full and others are going without completely. And what's Paul's conclusion of that? Paul's conclusion of that is, what shall I say? Shall I command you? No, I will not. His conclusion is, do you despise the church of God? Do you humiliate those who have nothing? What would Paul's conclusion be? If you were to ask him, Paul, can you just give me in three words, what is the conclusion of this issue? He would probably say, this is an abomination. That's what this is. A despising of God, a humiliation of the poor. It is a no commendation issue. Why? What is the big issue here? The big issue is that something that has been intended by God as a glorious display of the oneness of God's people in Christ has been flipped on its head to highlight the distinctions and partiality in the church. The rich are going ahead, the poor are going without. Remember yesterday what we talked about? There is one people of God in Christ, no male, female, no rich or poor, no Jew or Greek or Scythian or barbarian, no slave or free, no rich or poor. In Christ, we are one. And there is no place in the church of God where this is greater displayed than in the Lord's Supper. As the bread and the wine, just picture yourself at church, as the bread and the wine comes out, every person gets the same type of bread. Every person gets the same type of wine. Whether you are an elder or a minister, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're a young believer or an old believer, whether you're rich or poor, makes no difference. You get the same thing. And you partake in the same Christ. And you are all blessed with the same blessing. And you all eat at the same time. Do you see the picture here? The Lord's Supper is a display of the oneness of the people of God in the presence of Christ as he feeds them. And the church at Corinth was destroying that. That's why this is such a serious issue. And this is why it matters how we celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is why in our church we use the same type of bread. We use gluten-free bread. Why? Because we have celiac people in our church and we want to eat together so everyone eats the same gluten-free bread. We all have the same type of grape juice. Why? Because we want everyone to be able to eat together. We ask everyone to hold on to the bread and to hold on to the wine until they receive it in their hands, and then we all eat and then we all drink together. Why? Because it's an expression of the unity and the oneness of the people of God as they partake in Christ. It's a glorious display. There's nowhere else you see it so richly. This is why we forbid people to eat and drink communion by themselves. This is why we don't allow people to celebrate it outside of the body of Christ. Because it's a display of our togetherness. And so it ought to be. Let us not make a distinction and a division where Christ has made oneness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And we pray that next time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we would see the richness of this picture in the hearts of your people, in the lives of your people, as they celebrate the Lord's Supper. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has united us together, who has made us one in himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon as we continue our way into the Lord's Supper. God bless.